Mr. McIndoe, reel 8.
When you were in the line, was it possible to wash or shave?
It was possible sometimes, yes. I shaved my platoon officer there once. I had some cold water. It was cold, it wasn't hot. And I was on a little bit of trench in a sniping post. And I had this Dixie, my Dixie top lid, with the shaving water in it, with water in it, see. And I just lathered up and the sun was shining this particular day. It was quite nice. And I had this small mirror stuck into this bit of ground on the side of the sniping post, see. And I'd, been around there and had a lovely shave. And my platoon officer came round and he said, he said, what a clean boy or something, see. Because I'd had I didn't have a lot of growth in those days, yes. But I had a lot of whiskers.
Yes.
And he remarked about
your shave.
Ability in handling a razor, you see, because it was then that the safety razor had just come out. And nearly everybody used a cutthroat, but was cuts all over the place. You could see the nervous type, kept on nicking themselves, see. So he wanted one too. And I said, well, you sit down there. I said, I'll give you a shave, sir. Yes. So I shaved him there, yes.
Good. Did you manage to be able to wash fairly regularly when you were in the
room? Oh, no. No, you need to wash in. No, you never got to wash this bath, this in the tub. And the old company got into this same water. It was only changed after each company, afford that.
I suppose the only water you had in the front line was what you could physically carry up. And
that's
all. Wouldn't be very much.
In your water bottle, yes. And you kept that in there to drink, you see. Yes.
You've already told me that your clothes tended to get in a pretty awful condition when you were in the line.
Yeah.
What arrangements were there for washing and changing your clothes?
None. Oh, no arrangements, no.
When you were out of the line, though, presumably there would be some opportunity to clean your clothes up a bit, change your shirt.
Clean them up. Well, what you had your own cleaning material in your kit, you see. You scraped them with a knife, the mud, and you brushed off what would be possible to brush off.
What about issues of clean underclothes?
Oh, negligible. Never got those, no.
Were there any methods, any systems for keeping the conditions of the trenches in reasonable order?
Any method?
Yeah, I mean,
as they broke down, so as you repaired.
Yes, I wasn't thinking about repairing them. I was thinking of keeping them clean, free of litter, disinfected, things like that.
No.
You mentioned that guy when you first got your case of lice.
Yeah.
You mentioned that guy who was going around with a cylinder on his back clearing things up. I wondered if trench sanitation was a regular activity.
They had a pioneer squad after that, but this chap was attached to the regiment, you see.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, during those periods that you were in the line, when you weren't actually taking your turn on the fire step or sitting at the sentry's feet, things like that, and you actually had no specific duty to do, how did you usually fill your time? What kind of things would you do?
Well, clean your rifle and clean your equipment, That was all there was to do.
I wondered if you sort of play cards or anything.
No. Hmm. No.
Right. I'd like you to think about what a day in the trenches was like. a fairly typical routine kind of day and sort of just talk me through it and describe, you know, a 24-hour period and what the normal routine would be.
No, one had to make their own amusement. You had to get interested in something or another, but there was nothing to do. There was nothing to do. It was mostly conversation.
Yes.
At stand two, everybody would be in the front line, including a platoon officer, and he'd come along, perhaps soliciting what you'd seen, if anything abnormal had happened, or had you seen anything. And periodically he would look over with his own small periscope, see? But as I said, the trenches were very, very narrow, very short, only 30 yards apart. And if you put any object over the top like that, the observant enemy would pinpoint it. And an ordinary periscope would get a bullet through the top very quickly. I can always remember a young kiddie, whose name I remember, but I shan't mention, came from Hendon. This particular morning, there was Jerry had a notice on the other side. He was going along the top of his trench, walking along with it. And on this notice, it said, Nicht gefallen. It's the only bit of German that I know, the only word I know. Nicht gefallen. Follow me?
No, what does it mean?
Fallen. Gefallen. Or perhaps my pronunciation is not so good. Nisch, I think, is the capital of, or was the capital of Serbia.
So he's walking along with a notice on top. I don't understand what the significance of the notice was.
Well, yes. Well, the war in the Balkans was flaring up. The Balkan states in those days was Serbia, yeah. Montenegro, etc., etc., now Jugo and Czechoslovak. Well, the Bulgarians were fighting the Serbs, and the Serbs were somewhere else. Well, the Serbs, the Serbia was Butler from Hendon. He was a nice lad.
Yes, what did he do?
And very young like me. Somebody had seen it through this periscope, you see, and of course he, like this, see, anxious to see the notice, see, and they plugged him right in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After stand two, what would be the next period of the day?
Well, you'd get something to eat, you see. You'd get some, no doubt, you'd have a bit in your Dixie tin. The only way to keep it was your bread was in there, otherwise the rats would have it if you kept it in a haversack or anything of that, see. You couldn't leave anything like that about.
Were the rats a big problem?
Oh, good God, yes. They eat your iron rations. Your iron rations consisted of two or three hard biscuits and a tin of bully. Well, they couldn't get at the bully, but your equipment was, you'd fashion a peg, you'd stick a peg in through the wall of the dugout, you see. Yes, and hang your coat on it, you see. Hang your coat on it. Well, if you hang anything like that there, or even candles, scrape out an hole like that there to put a candle in for a light to read a letter, the candle would be carried away. I've seen them. Because it's grease, you see.
You've seen what?
Rats carry them away like that. Mm-hmm. Candles. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were they very much in evidence, rats?
Oh, crikey! If they were put in a harness, they could have done a milk round. They were that big. Yes, honest.
Were they at their worst in any at any particular time of the day?
All through the day.
Yes.
There was a dead Frenchman once I saw him. His body was decomposed, and it made me sick. There was his arm. There was his tunic was over like that, and this was seeped with blood here. So he'd been on the receiving end of something fairly big, and this. And as I saw him, I thought, Christ, we could bury him, we could cover him over, which eventually we did. And this bloody great rat ran out of his arm here after supping up. He'd been feeding on his blood here, see. Bloody great thing ran out there, nearly made me sick. I thought to myself, filthy things. Yeah.
Did you, when you were in the front line, did you sort of try and get rid of the rats, so you sort of shoot them or throw things at them or anything?
Yes, I can remember. I used to, of a morning, we were stood to one morning, and the dawn is just breaking. And, of course, any movement on the top there, you could see it, you know, it was breaking the, see, it was silhouetted behind the light. And I said to my colleague here with this, nearly every morning, you know, bloody great thing would come up there, he'd have something, and stand up on its back leg, you know, gnaw something like that, you know. I used to line the sights up and give him one round of ball, bang, and he'd blow them to nothing. I said, I wish to Christ I could go along the old line like that. I said, it'd do me good, because I've killed hundreds as a kid, trapped them. My dad and I used to go out with the dogs and the ferrets. That was our Sunday morning sport and all that, but
can you
still going on here.
Can you remember any other particular occasions where you know, these rats created a bit of a problem for you? Any other incidents like the one with...
Always creating problems, they were. They eat the outside of a man's ration bag, his iron rations. That was given to you to survive on if you didn't get any grub anywhere. Because everybody always said you mustn't eat your iron rations at all. No, there were three hard biscuits. But if you left them in this little linen bag up, they'd be through the bag and the biscuits as well. They'd eat the lot overnight.
Did the men ever play any games with the rats, you know, like sort of have competitions with them of any kind?
No. No.
Okay, fine. In December 1915, when you were wounded, how did that happen?
Well, it was on the night of the 14th and 15th. We had been briefed to go into this dugout, where we would be briefed about, it was about 5-6 o'clock in the evening, of an impending raid on the enemy trench this particular night, this same night. Well, we were split up into two parties. Forgetting the number now that constituted the party, but I think there was 6 or 7 of us, and led by an officer. A Lieutenant Ponsonby, the Lieutenant Trevor. One party on the left, one party on the right. I was assigned to go with the party on the right, and I would be in front. My job was to find this way through the wire, which I'd previously done on several occasions. Find my way through the wire and take the rest of the party would follow me. When I subsequently arrived at the the German trench, immediately opposite there was a long communication trench leading up to the front line. Well, my job was to stand opposite there and capture or kill anybody, any German that came up there. and to enable my party at the back of me to get into the trench and link up with the other party, whose job was to bomb the dugouts, and when they joined up together, we'd leave the enemy trench and return to our own lines. Well, I got to the top of their parapet, and upon doing so, I I saw the head of a Jerry looking over at me with something bright or shined, a rifle that was in his hand, and although I had a 32, I think there was seven or eight in the chamber and one up the spout, I couldn't very well use it on account of giving my position away. So I stood there motionless, hoping that the ground would shrivel up a bit so as I could get myself farther down into the ground. But I was a bit too late that our friend Wurtenberger, he let go a couple of rounds at me and rendered me...
He hit you?
He hit me in the hip, in the buttock, and my leg then froze up and became numbed, but I'd passed one or two. I knew where the craters were, small shell craters. I could get into in case he opened out on me again. And but I couldn't return the fire on account of giving the position away of my colleagues at the back of me. The party on the left had apparently achieved their object, but I didn't see any more movement of these colleagues behind me, and I couldn't get near enough to tell one that I had been hit. So I broke away from the party and returned back to the trench, dragging my injured leg behind me.
Good.